Hi, I'm Val Hart, the real Dr. Doolittle, and today I am interviewing Devin Abranigan. Devin Abranigan is the author of the young adult vampire novel Glory, the humorous chick lit novels Red Hot Property and Red Hot Liberty, and the metaphysical novels Spirit Warriors and Witch Hunt. Welcome, Devin. I'm so glad you're here with me. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Oh, likewise.
I originally met you when your colorful canine character Talisman contacted me to interview my dog Einstein. That was a best friend's fundraiser, I believe you were working on at the time, right?
Yes.
Yes. And by the way, I was really proud and very excited that you included Einstein and me in your celebrity lineup. I wound up getting your book, and of course I loved it. It's great, great stories. And the thing that intrigued me so much and I love so much about your work, it's the way that you include dogs into your stories. It is so cool. I love the personalities, the insights, the way the dogs interact in the stories. And they're just so much fun. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
So, Devin, how did you come to write these books? What inspired you to do that? And why is it important for you to include dogs in them?
Well, life is not complete without animals. So in my first two novels, they didn't include any characters that were animals. And when I took a break from writing, and when I came back, I wanted to make my work more relevant, more rich, more beautiful. So the truth is, I wrote Red Hot Property when my dog Colby had just died, when my mother had just died. Both of them had just died in my arms within 10 days of each other. My dog Jazz was dying, and I was at the lowest point in my life. I decided to write Red Hot Property, which became a it was actually a humorous novel that I needed. It was a form of survival for me because I was at my lowest. So I wrote the funniest thing that I've ever written in my life. And in the process, I wanted to do an homage to Colby, who had passed away. And so I created this character of Talisman based on her, to honor her and as a tribute to her.
Wow. Oh.
So that's where it began, and then she became so popular, so popular. She had her own, she has her own little fan club. She gets requests for her autograph. She gets, at times we go through phases where she gets more requests for her autograph than I do for mine. And so it grew from there, and I realized that I wanted to incorporate the animals into the books. So when Red Hot Property was the first in a series of books that are this comic humorous theme. And along the way, I decided to also start this young adult vampire novel series.
Interesting. Interesting choice of a topic.
Actually, there's a story behind that, too. But
I want to hear it. You know I want to hear it.
Okay. Well, actually, when I was writing Red Hot Property, or when I finished Red Hot Property, I called my literary agent and I asked her, what can I do to make Red Hot Liberty even more commercially appealing? Mm-hmm. And she laughed and she said, put a vampire in it. And I laughed, and then she stopped laughing, and then I stopped laughing, and she said, seriously, Devin, you should write a vampire novel. You could do a very good vampire novel. And
wow.
So I went ahead and I started the vampire series, and Jazz had just died.
Okay.
So it was like, okay, so I have a series that honors Colby's memory, and this gives me an opportunity to start a different series that will feature Jazz that I could, you know, I could honor her with.
Wow.
And so she became the intrepid demon-fighting Australian Shepherd, Hallelujah.
Oh, I love that.
It was so true to her character, because where Colby was a prissy pampered little show dog with attitude, Jazz was always the fearless one. She was totally fearless dog, the most fearless dog I have ever met, and got her in trouble a lot, actually. It just was really a good thing for her personality. This character just, it was in total harmony. And all through the book when I was writing it, every time I'd come to a scene where I had to figure out what I would have the canine character do, I would ask myself, WWJD, what would Jazz do?
Uh-huh. And, oh, I love that. WWJD, what would Jazz do? That's brilliant.
Yeah, and she's very, very popular now, too. So we have two very popular canine characters now in these respective series.
Oh, man, I love this. So I have another question. So is it true that you also feature the pets of friends and fans in your novels?
I do. Actually,
oh,
I do.
Oh, my God. So how does that work?
It started with the contest, and so maybe I should start talking about that.
Okay.
I became aware of Best Friends Animal Sanctuary and the work that they do through my grief counselor, with whom I was trying to process all of my grieving issues about my mother and my dogs and such. And sorry, I get emotional when I talk about this. When my dogs died, I consulted a grief counselor who, interestingly enough, is affiliated with the Argus Institute, which is an organization at CSU Veterinarian Clinic up in Fort Collins. They are a public organization to help veterinarians deal with the grief issues related to the loss of their patients and for people who have lost their pets. And I started, I was so devastated when I lost my girls that I went ahead and consulted with someone there who was very kind. And in the process of dealing with my grief, she suggested I do something in their memory to benefit other animals. And the organization that she referred me to was Best Friends Animal Sanctuary or Society. They are the largest no-kill facility in the world. They are on 3,000 acres in southern Utah, and they rescue animals of all types. They try to adopt them out if they can, and if they can't, then they, if they're unadoptable for whatever reason, they keep them, and they love them, and they are an amazing organization, and they operate entirely by donation. Okay. Well, I was not in a position to give a lot of money to them. For a while, I, you know, gave them regular donations. But when I wrote Red Hot Property, since it was also, the book itself was in memory of one of my dogs, I thought, okay, well, I need to do something I can tie in with this project. I decided something that would be fun for everybody would be to hold a raffle where all proceeds went to Best Friends Animal Sanctuary, and the winner of the raffle, their pet would become a character in the next book of the series.
Oh, that's so cool.
So I have held two raffles now, and I have now a character that was chosen to be in the second book of the series, which I'm working on now, which is Red Hot Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And then the winner of the third raffle, or the second raffle, rather, will be in the third book, which is called Red Hot Vampire.
Uh-huh.
The winners of those two raffles, their animals are going to be featured in these two books. And then also, some of the people who just entered the raffle, I decided to honor their participation by including some of their animals in very minor walk-on kind of roles in the books. And so that's going to be fun. And then I also just have some friends that I'm including their pets. I have some friends with very interesting pets, so I'm including them as I go, as I can. I'm trying to not make it too overwhelmingly animal-focused, but I want to have, you know, the color that provides.
Well, it adds a unique and, I think, a brilliant dynamic. Plus, you know, when you touch into the consciousness of dogs and other animals, it expands your work entirely. It brings in a whole nother life into it that, you know, all of us animal lovers are sensitive to and we resonate with. That's why we love having animals in our life. We love reading about them, and I think it's a delightful concept. And, of course, you know, I'd love to have Einstein, the psychic pickle-eating pup, in one of your books, but I know that's up to you.
Actually, I'm going to try to put him in Red Hot Vampire.
Oh, my God. Oh,
I am.
Wow.
I am.
Oh,
that one's
so excited.
Going to deal a lot more with the paranormal, so that will work.
Oh, well, you know. I'm so excited. Thank you. So that's how you got involved with Best Friends Animal Society, and that's also how you've used your novels to raise money.
Yes.
And do fundraising for them also. That's
yes.
Wonderful. I love that.
Yes. They were very thrilled, and the success was wonderful, and a lot of money was raised for them. So it was win-win.
I love it. That's so wonderful. I know we both feel really strongly about animal welfare, taking care of our animals, keeping them off the streets, giving them good forever homes, stepping in when there's a need. I'm delighted to support you in all of that, and, of course, I'm a supporter of the Best Friends All. So, here's a rumor. I have heard that there's a celebrity canine that's going to be featured in your upcoming novel, Red Hot Liberty. Are you at liberty to tell us about that?
Yes, I am, actually. And there's a story behind this, too.
Of course.
When my late Australian Shepherd, Jazz, was dying, she had a very lengthy, very difficult illness. And right near the end, I was watching 2006 Crufts Dog Show. The winner of 2006 Crufts Best in Show was a Blue Merle Australian Shepherd, just like Jazz. It was, and I don't know, there was an emotional thing that happened to me
really?
When I was watching it. I was sitting there with her, and we were watching it on television, and I started to cry because it was like this dog, this almost mirror image of her, was at the very height of his moment in life, you know, the height of his power and his glory and his magnificence. And Jazz's light was fading, and it was just very poignant. I'll just never forget that. And it also, Chance was the first Australian Shepherd to have ever won Crufts.
Wow.
And it was very momentous. And Crufts is the largest, most prestigious dog show in the world.
Uh-huh.
So it was a big deal. Several years later, I met the owner of Chance, the person who has Chance, and we struck up a friendship. When I was, as I started to plot my novel, Red Hot Liberty, mm-hmm. I asked her if I could include him as a character in the book. And it took a long time for her to make that decision, and
okay.
she ran it by the original breeder of, and had to get, you know, in her mind she wanted to get everybody's permission, and she wanted to get to know me better too, to make sure I would not do something terrible with this.
And
you know, to besmirch the reputation of her dog. His official name is Caitlin I'll Take a Chance, and his call name is Chance. And he has so many awards now, but anyway, so I came up with, and you've got to remember the Red Hot series is a comic series.
Uh-huh.
And so I came up with a plot line where Talisman, who is the prissy pampered show dog with attitude, is a Blue Merle Australian Shepherd, and
yeah.
Chance is a Blue Merle Australian Shepherd, and Merles are not allowed to mate with Merles because genetically their puppies would be born deaf, blind, and otherwise. So
wow.
it's a big, big no-no to mate them. So I decided to create a funny little subplot where they have experienced this forbidden love, and they're deeply passionately in love, but they can't do a thing about it.
Star-crossed lovers, I love
it. Yes, star-crossed lovers. She wears a little scarf that says just like Romeo and Juliet, and you know, so it's very, very funny, and it also conveys a learning message too, which I do try to do with all my fiction. Because a lot of people do not understand the genetics and that they can't be bred. And unfortunately, every year, many puppies are born that are blind and deaf because of people's ignorance. They just don't understand that they can't breed these two, the two together. So I'm hoping it will also educate as well as entertain.
Right. And, you know, that brings us to the topic of responsible dog breeding. People just need to be, we need to be more conscious of what we're doing and bringing puppies into the world and being sure that they have homes and that we're giving the very best start in life that we possibly can.
Absolutely. And know what you're doing and understand the breed and understand how to place the breed with personality types and,
right.
you know, be responsible in it. I fully support responsible breeding.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm so glad. I do too. And I certainly teach my students and listeners and clients and everybody that I meet also to pay attention. Don't you have an upcoming children's book that's a spinoff to Red Hot Liberty?
Yes, actually.
That?
Yes,
oh my
I
God.
Do.
I love that. Oh, children. Okay, tell me. Tell me about the kids' book.
Oh, this is funny. There's a little funny scene in Red Hot Liberty that is obviously not from the dog's perspective because, I mean, Red Hot Liberty is a very sophisticated adult chick-lit novel series.
Yes.
I think Janet Ivanovich's Stephanie Plum series. It's,
yes.
You know, it's of that ilk. And but I have this funny little scene that was just too priceless that I realized I wanted to do something more with from the dog's perspective,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't appropriate to do it in that book, so I'm doing an offshoot of it as a children's book, and the working title of it at this point is Show Dog Sings the Blues. In it, she goes to visit her sister, Maddie Madison, who is, as an aside, based on my late Colby's only surviving child, who is now 15 years old.
Oh, my.
And she is a Blue Merle Australian Shepherd who lives in Fort Collins, Colorado. And she's still going strong because she is so feisty. And she actually is very inspiring. So I that is another case of me taking the dog of a friend and incorporating it into my fiction. Well, in Show Dog Sings the Blues, Talisman goes to visit her sister Maddie for a regularly scheduled play date on a ranch because Maddie is a hardcore cow dog, which is, of course, the polar opposite to my prissy pampered little Talisman. because they're both Blue Merles, and through the ignorance of a new ranch hand, after she's dropped off for the day for their little play date, he gets the two confused after they fall in a mud puddle.
Oh!
After their little scheduled playtime, he puts whom he thinks is Talisman back in the house to rest for the day because she is this pamper princess, then goes to work with whom he thinks is Madison, but he's got the two dogs confused. It is an Australian Shepherd Freaky Friday. And so poor Talisman has to muddle through the day trying to work as a cow dog.
Trying to figure out how to be a cow dog.
Yeah, how to be a cow dog. And well, poor Madison is in a panic attack in the house, looking out the window with her sweaty paws against the glass, going, "Oh my God, what is my sister going to do on my ranch today?"
She's ruining everything. Oh, I love that story.
It's very funny. It's turning out beautifully. It's very funny.
Oh, man. Well, I want to read it. I'm just a big kid at heart anyway, you know? Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Thanks for telling us. We'll look forward to that. Do you know when it's going to be finished up?
I don't have a release date yet
No. Okay.
We'll keep looking for it.
And so I have another question. Another rumor is that you're going to feature an evil Australian Shepherd in a sequel to your vampire novel, Glory.
Is
that true?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God. How can you do an evil dog?
It's really going to be hard. And I'm having a challenge with it because I love animals so much, and I especially love Australian Shepherds. But I was trying to come up with a real foil for Hallelujah, the intrepid demon fighting Aussie. I thought at first I was thinking, well, I'll make it a wolf, but you know, that gives poor wolves a bad rep, which I don't want to do because wolves are wonderful animals, and they are unfortunately very maligned. So I decided, no, I'm not going to do that. And then I thought, well, I'll find a different kind of dog. And it's funny because I posted on my Facebook page, what kind of dog do you think I should use? And I have so many Australian Shepherd friends on Facebook, and of course there's this huge rivalry that always goes on between the Border Collie people and the Australian Shepherd people.
So
the Aussie people were going, oh, make it a Border Collie.
Yeah, exactly.
But then I didn't want to do that, you know, so because that kind of didn't seem fair. So I decided.
A Doberman, come on. Not a Shepherd.
You know, and then someone said, well, make it a Chihuahua. But, you know.
A evil Taco Bell dog, yeah.
But I decided that I should make it the polar opposite of Hallelujah.
Uh-huh.
And so it's going to be a, you know, another Australian Shepherd just like her, except kind of like her polar opposite.
Yeah.
So I'm playing with that, and that's kind of fun.
Oh, I love that. That's so cool. What a hoot. God, I love what you do. This is so much fun. So, Devin, can you talk for a minute about the winners of the Best Friend raffles?
Yes. For the first raffle, the winner was a Basset Hound named Ross, who belonged to a doctor down in Texas. It was a challenge for me because I have never even met a Basset Hound before, so I've had to do a lot of research. But there is a lot of comic material there, I will say that.
They are. They're very funny.
They're very funny.
Yeah, that's great.
I was trying to figure out how I was going to fit this animal into the story because, I mean, that's the whole purpose, is to integrate them into the story. And I had already created I had already started Red Hot Liberty. And Red Hot Liberty is a very, very funny story that features a new character in the series named Liberty True, who is a tinfoil hat-wearing, conspiracy theory-believing rebel patriot, played for laughs. So I thought, okay, well, how perfect is this? I will have Basset Hound Ross be her dog, have him named after Betsy Ross,
okay,
and have her dress him up in American flag costumes and say the Pledge of Allegiance to him every day. And, you know, really, and she's a hunter and a survivalist, so that would work well because basset hounds are hunting dogs. So that's how So that's how I worked that into it.
That's hysterical.
It is. As an aside, ironically, last year after he won, he passed away. And so for his person, this will be a real good tribute. So I'm very pleased that I was able to, that it all worked out like it did.
Yeah, what an amazing way to memorialize your loved one, your dog forever, you know?
Yes, yes.
What a cool idea.
So that worked out very well. Mm-hmm. And then the raffle winner for the second book, the second raffle for the third book. Sorry, I get a little confused here. It's a little challenging. There are a lot of them.
Yeah,
is a celebrity in his own right, and his name is Bocker the Labradoodle, and he lives in New York, and he is an actor.
He's an actor.
He was in Steven Spielberg's War of the Worlds. He was in Julia Roberts' Eat, Love, and Pray, that is due out this summer. He has quite a portfolio, and he's a model. Oh, he's beautiful too, just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So I've got this Labradoodle again. I know nothing about Labradoodles, so
yeah.
I'm thinking, what am I going to do with him in the third book? And I haven't begun writing the third book yet, but I have plotted it out. Actually, the plot evolved in this case more from this Labradoodle's presence in as a character, because all I knew about the third book is it was going to be about the supernatural and the paranormal. I was going to, you know, play it for laughs because it is a humorous book. I was going to go ahead and kind of poke fun at vampires and the like, because kind of tie in with my very oh so serious vampire series. I decided that I would make the gist of the plot that Steven Spielberg came to town to make a movie called Red Hot Vampire. Bocker the Labradoodle was one of the stars of the movie, and he is kidnapped and held for ransom by a group of people who believe they're real-life vampires until Steven Spielberg agrees to allow real vampires play fictional vampires in his movie.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. So,
whoa.
I know. So it's funny. And that is, so I'm very, very pleased that Bocker is going to be part of the third book in the series.
Oh, man, I'm so excited. I want to read him right now. Hurry up. Let's get off the phone. You have more writing to do, Devin.
I know. I'm writing as fast as I can.
Oh, God, I love it. I can just imagine living with these characters, you know, with the stories and in your own mind, you know, in your mental workshop, having them evolve and bringing in all the personalities. I love what you do. It's so much fun.
I'm having a blast. It's truly fun. Yeah. And I do want to mention that I haven't ignored the cats.
Good.
I haven't.
You
I for
all cat and horse and bird people.
Well, there was a gal who entered both raffles and did not win. I wanted to honor her participation. I contacted her and I said, you know, you didn't win, but you've entered both raffles, and I would like to, you know, do something, if I may, to honor you for that. And so I will include your animal. What is your animal? And she has this Tonkinese cat named Marina Knight, who is a very mysterious cat. So
as they all are, don't you?
Yes. This cat is going to become a new character in the series and belong to the goofy psychic. Sorry, the goofy psychic that is a character in all three of the Red Hot books.
I love it. Oh God, I know we've been chatting for quite a while now, so. We could keep going. I want to know a lot more. I'm one of those inquiring minds. But I think let's go ahead and call it quits at this point. Tell people how they can find you. So, do you have a website?
I do. It's www.devinwrites.com, and let me spell that.
Yeah.
It's DEVIN. Writes, WRITES, all one word, devinwrites.com.
Got it. Great. And so everybody listening, go to devinwrites.com and sign up. You have a newsletter, right?
I do. Please sign up for my e-newsletter. I send it out monthly. This will keep you updated about all the news in relation to my books that are out now and the ones that are upcoming.
Right, and then if you do future raffles or any other things that you're up to, right, you'd let folks know.
Right, and actually I do contests of all sorts. Right now I'm doing one for the best title for the children's book. And the best one so far, the one that we like so far, is The Show Dog Sings the Blues, but we're still open. We haven't decided for sure. That's just our working title.
Mm-hmm.
The winner will ultimately be mentioned in the book, and their pet will be featured, you know, in that regard, or their animal-based business or anything animal-related that they would like to promote. I am going to include that in the acknowledgments and on the website as the prize.
And, of course, while people are on your website, devinwrites.com, I'm betting that they could actually buy your books.
Yes, I have a bookstore there. Yes.
Good.
And they can buy autographed copies directly from me. Of course, my books are available, you know, in bookstores and via Amazon, et cetera. But if they buy it from me, they can get my autograph and either Hallelujah or Talismans Potograph, per their request. They do have to ask, but when they place the order, there's a way for them to send, you know, to request that. So,
what a cool thing. I love this, Devin. So everybody listening, be sure and go to devinwrites.com. Tell your friends, please. I know a lot more folks want to know about these kinds of books and what you're up to. We certainly want to support you and love the work you're doing to support Best Friends Animal Society and the other shelters. I know you also contribute to other rescues like Australian Shepherd Rescue stations and things like that.
Right. I do definitely support animal welfare groups like Aussie Rescue, Border Collie Rescue, Basset Hound Rescue, etc.
Wonderful. Mm. Thank you, Devin.
You're welcome.
I've had a blast talking to you.
I have had some. Thank you.
Okay. Let's just say goodbye.
Bye.
Ready? Bye. Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dr. Doolittle Show with Val Hart. If you'd like to learn more or hear other podcasts and other interviews, then please go to The Real Dr. Doolittle Show on iTunes, also available on my blog at www.valhart.com/blog. Thanks a lot for listening, and thank you, too, for your love of animals.